from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. You know, I don't have the powers of the Force to put you, you know, I do have, ideally, the power to go off topic to put you to sleep. And that does take one kind of energy, but I do have ears that may rival the young Yoda-like, young Yoda, or baby Yoda, as people, oh, so Yoda, that's what I call, oh, so cute. Oh, you know, if I could fit it all in there, I'd say that, and I'd say a whole lot more, because I'd like to go off on a tangent about it right now. And don't worry, eventually I will, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, I mean, I know this is not the most convenient thing, but this is these are literally the ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. So I thank those of you that listen oh so much so I can keep it free for everybody. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Media Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I want to thank Carrie, Sherilyn, Karen L., Miriam, and Nicole, all who have been sponsors since the beginning of 2016, supporting the show for that long. I could not have done it without them. And then I want to thank our newest patrons, Allison, Margarita, Ben, Paige, and Katie, who just signed up to help keep the show going. So thank you for being sleepy supporters in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. That's the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's how we keep the podcast for free for everybody. And if you want to be in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, support a sponsor, tag them in a social media post and tag me. Let them know how you heard about them, and I could try to thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out in the show, and you've got a new podcast. Could you tell us about both things in one song?
Chris Posty Posterson
sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby song.
I'm making a podcast.
About writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song.
Can find it,
just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer, these are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
We're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. Oh, now on with
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about. So thoughts, I guess those are what thoughts are, or, you know, other things. You might, you know, stuff on your mind. Holy moly. You might have so much moly. I don't even know what moly is, to be honest. So you might say, holy moly, like you just had some delicious mole that you can't stop thinking about. But that's probably not the best. So anything you're thinking about, you may listen to a podcast where a person says stuff and it confuses you. So thoughts, feelings, you know, emotions, or physical sensations, or just anything, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. Oh, that's another part there. Whatever's keeping you up. It could be changes in schedule or work, seasonal things, temperature, noise, lighting, curtains, breezes, whatever's keeping you up. I mean, I know there's a lot of other stuff, that you could be dealing with. And whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off, then keep you company so that you could fall asleep. And what I'm going to do is I have this safe place I'm trying to create. And I'm always working at creating. It's never done. I do feel a bit like a character, you know, where I say, okay, well, this is, it's always a safe place. It's always in development for you. If it was a musical, I would do a song about that at this point. Hopefully the song would be so good and catchy, it would have a reprise later in the show. But ideally, for this podcast, there wouldn't be a later in the show, because if it was a musical, I'd probably, you know, go on to become Noir Chardonnay, world-famous performer and singer. But really, I just want to keep making the podcast. So I want to keep developing this safe place, which you might just be checking out for the first time, and you may already be confused, which is hopefully eventually it will work for you. But yeah, I'm trying to create this safe place, a safe mood. And one way I do it is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, the soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I go off topic, which you've already seen a few times there. I use filler words, strategically placed filler words. You say, well, I just ran out of filler words. How'd you know to leave me a bundle of filler words? And I say, well, it's actually a musical within a safe place. So expect your expectations to be met, which is our next number, which you won't hear because, but that would be another number. And that's why that bundle of filler words was there. It's one of the few things that people don't realize they run out of. You don't miss a filler word until you miss it. That song, we're not sure where that's going to be in the show. There'll be the filler word off on a why. Maybe it'll be a person. I don't know. Would it be a town that lost their filler words? They'd say everything's we don't have to, like, because the benefit is if you use filler words, because you might be a strict, in your daytime life, right? In your sleep podcast, you say, Scoots, I love your filler words, but during the day, you know, I work in, I run the debate club, the club for debate clubbers. I'd say, wait a second, hold on. Is it what kind of club is it? And you say, well, it's a members only club, Scoots. And I'd say, well, you listen to my podcast, so do you think I could get it? Because is it a kind of club where the bass is something? And you say, well, and parts of it is. Really? And is it the kind of club where there's a fireplace and leather-bound books and, those kind of statues of, like, pheasants and things like that? Yes, there could be those things. Huh. It sounds a bit like one of the safe places I'm designing. Do you think I could take your debate club, and because I was thinking about writing a book called The Debate Club Club. No, you're not, Scoots. I'm not. Well, I just thought of it just now. I thought you were writing a musical about filler words. Well, until I heard about your Debate Club Club, and now I can't stop thinking about it, especially since I can't go there. Is it affordable? Oh, it costs nothing. It's, you know, just your time, just the love of debate clubs and participation in debate clubs and other requirements for membership that we cannot disclose at this time. Would I need to debate you to get into the debate club club? Not myself, but there is a part of the debate club where I can hear, like, I could be in the room. If I was in that room with the fireplace, or is there a room with the snacks and desserts and warming trays? There are. If I'm in there, because I have pretty good hearing and sense of audio sense, could I sense that somewhere else in the building the bass is thumping? Yes, you probably could. Oof, that sounds like one of the greatest. That sounds like an awesome club. Congratulations. I think I was in the beginning of the beginning of a sleep podcast intro, though. So I'll have to, maybe one day our paths will cross again. I certainly hope so, Scooter. I mean, it's unlikely unless you just gave me like guest passes or something, because I don't think. Other than saying debate club club, which I love saying, obviously, I don't think I'll have the time to invest in any of that other, you know, getting into the debate. Okay. But I guess I got to get back to the sleep podcast intro anyway. So wonderful talking to you. Well, hopefully one day, if we have guest passes, Scooter, yeah, then, you know. Okay, well, I think I might just copy those plans since they're imaginary anyway and put them into my safe place. Hey, I'm back. New listeners, holy cow. I thought I was talking about filler words and ended up, I used a bunch of them. So, I don't even know what I was talking about. So, I'm glad you're here. I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep. You may have noticed the show is more than a bit different. Structurally, content-wise, tone, temperature. This might not be the first time someone said debate club club, but I could guarantee in the history of podcast intros, unless that club has its own podcast, it's never been said this many times at the beginning of a podcast, it's not for everybody. I guess that would be one thing. You say, holy mackerel, is he going to say it? And I said, well, I almost said it there again. So this podcast is a bit different. It's a bit goofy. I mean, clearly, and it's kind of meant to be consumed passively. It's a podcast you don't really need to listen to. And I mean, I don't think I can make it any more apparent than just being myself at this point, which you've heard so far. So you kind of barely listen to me. But there's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. Believe it or not, later we're going to be talking about a season 1, episode 3 of The Mandalorian. And you don't even need to have seen the show to enjoy this sleepy content. It's a podcast you don't need to listen to, but there's no pressure to fall asleep. If you can't sleep, I'm going to be here till the very end for you. So don't worry. This is not an exclusive podcast like the Debate Club Club. You can come in. You can listen. It's open to all and to everyone. And I'm here to keep you company. So, yeah, that's one thing. And what was the other? Oh, if you're new, oh, structurally, what to expect. A little late to explain this, and I do have to. So if you're new or regular listeners even, they can get thrown off because they say, well, the show starts off like kind of like with a lot of fast, energetic talk. And I say, yeah, well, that's how we keep the podcast free for everybody, is the show starts off with a few minutes of business. Then there's like housekeeping and me kind of talking about the podcast in the intro, which is not which is kind of part of most listeners' wind down routine. It's like their old buddy Scoots is coming over again to tell us about his ever developing safe place and to keep us company. So that's what the intro. The intro's around 12 to 20 minutes or so. And it's kind of something familiar. It just gives you a chance to get comfortable or to get ready for bed, however you like to listen. There are about 2% of listeners that skip ahead to 20 or 30 minutes and listen to just the second half of the show. But I find for most people, it works good. You know, the top of the show, then we have the intro starts to wind things down. And then we have some business. Then we talk about the Mandalorian. Then we have some thank yous. So that's how I structure the show. And I think I said the other stuff. I mean, you might say, what is this? I don't have that thing to watch the Mandalorian. I said, don't worry. And you say, well, I get spoiled. And I'd say, oh boy. Yeah. Did you hear? I have extra satchels of spillers. What are they called? Filler words. I was calling them spiller words because they spill right out of my mouth. I put too many in there. Spiller words and chiller words. And sillier words all are also in this podcast. You don't need to have seen the show. I mean, I will talk about the kind of what happened in the episode, but it'd be pretty oblique, though it will contain plot points. But I don't know if you'll remember them. I just rewatched. This is about episode 3. So I watched it for I took all my notes a few hours ago. I'd already watched it a few times already. And then I watch and I pause it and I write stuff down. So don't worry about it. I mean, it's here to put you to sleep and keep you company. Most of the time, no one remembers very much about the podcast. You may remember a few fragments and... Because I'm here, I don't know. You know what I mean. If you're not, I'm glad you're here. I mean, I make this show because I've been there, tossing and turning and sleepless. And I really do want to help. I want to keep you company as you drift off. So, I don't know. I think that's it. Believe it or not, I'm not out of filler words. But I don't want to just, I don't gratuitously use filler words. except in the most... just for, just an amusement, you just like an amusement. What if there was an amusement park of filler words? Filler words park does not sound amusing or interesting to me. So I'd have to think that, I guess I'll have to think of that some other time. But yeah, I'm here to keep you company as you drift off, to be your boyfriend. I make the show because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. In that if you get a good night's sleep, or if at least a bedtime isn't stressful and a rigmarole, if I can reduce that at all for you, one, it would be my honor. Two, it would hopefully make your life a little bit, more tolerable or beyond that, where you could start to flourish. And in that case, whether you're rested or you're flourishing, the world's going to be a better place. It's just that simple. And the flip side is also simple. I've been there, so I know how. I might not know exactly what you're going through, but I'm familiar with some of the feelings, and it's not pleasant, and I want to help. But the other part is this podcast just doesn't work for everybody. It's more like a goofy friend than a magical sleep solution. It's a sleep offering, I say sometimes, hey, I'm offering up this story to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. So really see how it goes, because you do deserve a good night's sleep. I hope it works for you. Most listeners said it took 2 or 3 tries for them to kind of get used to listening to the show and not listening, and my personality and my voice. And then they started to fall asleep. But there are people that know right away. I mean, usually they know within the, They already sent me an email. Before I say, well, if you know it's definitely not for you, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. Because there's other stuff listed there. But I'm glad you're here. I believe it or not, I work very, very hard on this show, which is probably hilarious to some people too. But it's because I care, because I yearn and I strive. I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. It's Scoots here. We're doing episode 3 of The Mandalorian right now. The last time on The Mandalorian is playing, which you can skip. I find it puts me in the mood, though, previously on The Mandalorian. So I enjoy it. Let's see, walking off into the sunset. I don't know, like, I'm trying to avoid almost, it's really tough. This Mandalorian is making it hard. It's really become certain things on this show have already become, I don't know, very popular. In public dialogue. So this Oso Yoda is Oso cute. I think that's what we'll do for the shorthand for our show. Because, I mean, when I say Oso cute, I guess if I said yo soy cute, I don't know what cute is in Spanish, though. I guess you don't need to say yo if you're saying soy, right? Soy eris somos son. So here we go. Now the Star Wars logo is on the screen, shimmering, glimmering, and now going to yellow. And we open with space. The ship pops in. Very cool. Great sound effects. We see a volcanic. This planet has a lot of volcanic activity. and great sound effects and lighting in the ship. A lot of red light, a lot of buttons and stuff. What else we get? Lights, buttons. The baby wants to play ball. So Yoda once says, hey, it could, really great moves. I'm watching Yoda climb out now. Mandalorian takes a FaceTime from Reef. I forgot his name. But I think I know he has Reef in his name. Maybe. Let's see. Chirp. Oh, there's good ship chirping sound effects, too. Mando, wonderful news. The client's very antsy. Then Mando sees. So, baby, Oso Yoda takes the ball, like a knob, a silver knob off the ship, tries to play with it. Mando says, not a toy. It reminded me of Lionel Kitty City. But he says, get back in your bassinet, buddy. So Scoots can use some alliteration. Ship goes out of orbit. There's big music. Ship lands in a land. Where else but a landing pad? And actually, like a landing. No, yeah, I guess it is a landing pad. No, more like landing mud. We noticed some yellow paint on the ship. At least I did for the first time. What else we got here? Weather, great weather today. By the way, here, whatever we are, not sure, because Scooch doesn't do any reading about the, you know, keeps it clean. Weather is great today on whatever planet we're at. You know, other, probably the volcanic activities unrelated to the weather anyway. Maybe a snow speeder, some sort of speeder lands. Baby Yoda, Oso Yoda checks that out. Great people watching. I would love to be in a floating bassinet myself, and I would love to hear, eventually after the season, if they put out some extras, I'd love to hear about the set dressing and the costuming, because I feel like they really took a lot of cool influences and put them there at the beginning and the end of this episode of way characters are dressed. Really, it just made me grin and reminded me of different comic books and stuff like that. And even the other Star Wars movies. I just thought of this song. There's a song by Third Base called Knock Knock, Come In, Come In. And I think I'm like well behind the episode. So I guess I should pause the episode, huh? Because they go through a very tall archway. Lots of people watching. Big ears, which made me look up ear growth. Then four knocks on the door. And you know, this podcast loves knocking, but I don't know if I've ever mentioned that song. I'm going to have to listen to it later. I don't know if it was on the Cactus album. Third Base was a hip-hop group in the 80s, I guess. Maybe, I don't think the 90s. Maybe 88 to 89. And then, why does this, Hi Chew. The robot eye thing says haiku a pinky or haiku a pinky, haiku or haiku a pinky. When it checks, wants to check your ID, stormtroopers come. Mando says, yo, easy with that bassinet, man. The floating bassinets they're very useful, as we'll find out soon. Then we see Werner, who says, yes, 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 yes. He says it in a much more Herzogian way. His voice, I don't know if he has creaky dulcets, but I love his voice. Holy mackerel. I'm more used to him, you know, narrate. I don't know if anybody's seen Incident at Loch Ness. That one, I don't know, was that really, I always think about the dinner scene at the beginning, and I always thought, it's like, that really his place, like, so that's just something I was thinking about. They do a baby scan, and they say, this baby's coming up cute as heck, holy moly, it's at the holy moly level of cuteness, according to the scanner. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to reboot the Muppet, something like a long time ago, before the Muppet Babies, we're pre-booting it, does not lie. Oh, the baby doesn't like being scanned though. It says, how you gotta scan me to be cute? I am what I am. I'm Oso Yoda. I wish we had another term. I don't know, like, what species Yoda is. I guess we could say Herzogian, but that would be even more confusing. You say, Werner says, your reputation was not unwarranted. Very impatient or something. And he says, to the winner goes the spoils, which I thought, isn't it to the victor goes the spoils? And I just thought about this. Is that like a lyric from like Waterloo, or is that actually an entire song from ABBA? I think it's an entire song. A winner takes it all. Whoops. I mean, it is, I guess. Maybe that is a lyric in The Winner Takes It All. It is, or maybe it's in Waterloo. I don't know. Maybe I'll listen to that later. I guess I got a playlist for this episode. Two songs so far. But I, you know, I don't like to, you know, correct Herzog, but I said, isn't it a Victor? And he said, what is it? Large bounty, small package. I said, whoa, I just commenting on that. I said, no need to get personal, Werner. And I said, thanks that I didn't never been told to have a large bounty. And he said, I was talking about Oso Yoda. Mando says, bye bye, baby, whereas Oso goes off the screen. We'll just say Oso. That's the easy way because it works. Can we agree on that? Great. He said, then we start to see this crack in the armor. It's funny. And also, it made me think of like Boba Fett. One, how does Boba Fett feel about Boba Balls? Is it Boba Fett, or do I just have Boba Balls on the brain? There's some great alliteration. Holy moly. Boba Balls on the brain, Alec, for 4,000. Oh, it's a daily double. Terrific. But Mando says, what are your plans for the child or whatever? And Werner says, you've taken payment. Mind your own P's and Q's. And he said, according to the code, you've already forgotten everything. And then this, I WTF to this just because of, don't quite understand enough of the Mandalorian history. And I mean, that's why I WTF it, but he goes, finding a Mandalorian in these trying times is more difficult than finding the steel. And I said, well, actually, there's like a underground club with like 46 Mandalorians doing nothing. And you just happen to be on this planet that, I guess only one man, that's why it's the Mandalorian. He's the Mandalorian that gets to go outside and do stuff, not the only Mandalorian. He's like the Mandalorian. Like he pops his collar when it's said. I mean, if he had a collar to pop, that's what would happen. Or if he had a lock, you know, I don't think he'd ever pop and lock anything. Oh boy. So finding the steel. And I said, yeah, okay. I already said that. But I said, wait a second. They're just down there playing chess. I don't know where you're looking. And maybe you need to reassess your hiring practices. Cause as this episode goes on, I mean, I guess there's plenty of room for quality bounty hunters. So anyway, so the episode opens. It's chapter 3, The Sin. There's a guitar, kind of surf guitar walking music. Mando's got his cooler. He keeps his steel ice cold, man. Also, doesn't have to worry about dropping it or losing it. He heads into Mando HQ, gets a lot of looks in that Mandalorian hall. There's more of them this week than there were. Then we see the face of the god or goddess. Then we go into the forge room. Pops out the steel. The metalsmith is watching. All the Mandalorians come to see. They say, "Holy cow! That's not a cooler. You know, that's not a cooler. It's a steel holder. It's a stack. You know, for stacked steel. Also, Mandalorian must be very strong because that thing must have weighed a pretty. I hope he switched arms every, like, 400 yards so he, like, balances his shoulders out. So all the Mandalorians come to see. She says, it can be shaped in, let me see. I was going to read this, some of this dialogue. It's in front of me now in closed captioning. It can be shaped in many ways. The amount can be shaped in many ways. Armor. He says, my armor's lost. Oh, yeah, because this is a very subtextual. I love this kind of subtext. Can be shaped in many ways. He says, well, I need a new armor. It's lost its integrity. I may need to begin again. And she says, indeed, the whole thing. He goes, that'd be a great honor. And she goes, it's going to be shiny AF. And he goes, whatever. Then this big dude comes in. And he's a bit of a splainer, or like he's one of those ones. He's got everything to say. He's got an opinion about everything. He's got enough armor for it too, so he's got to try to explain a little bit of jealous, I'd say. And he goes, "How come this guy is? How did he become the Mandalorian? He just picked up this metal, and the armor kind of tries to stay balanced, but at the same time." He goes, this guy's eating lunch with the Empire. And she goes, by the way, our secrecy is part of our job. And he goes, well, once it was numbers, now we got to hide out here. Only one of us, Hubba, gets to go up above ground at a time. So they do a dance off because he challenges them. Just a quick one, more a show dance off. Because he said, did you say something about pop and lock later? He goes, no, pop and fresh. So then the armorer says, cut it out. There's no Empire. We got the steel. And she goes, it's not easy walking the way of the Mandalore. You're hiding and you're seeking. And she goes, how can one be? She goes, have you ever took your helmet off? No. Anyone else taking it off? No. No one's ever seen your head? No. That is the way. And everyone goes, oh, that is the way. So face, there kind of is the faceless people. Spoils of purge, our secrecy. I'm just reading over this. He shares tables, showdown, dance off, Empire no longer. Never had your helmet off. This is the way times three. Then she goes, what happened to your armor? Anyway, you look off. He goes, Mudhorn. And she goes, well, that was your signet. He goes, no, it was not a noble, that one was not a noble dance off. I was helped by an enemy. She goes, well, why did your enemy help you? He goes, it did not know it was my enemy. Oh, there's like great industrial sounds too in the background. She says, all right, I'm going to make some whistling birds for you. This is the way, stuff for the set aside stuff for the foundlings. This is the way as it should be. Forge flash, what does that say? Oh, flashback. He has some forge flashbacks. We see like a lot of high tech metalwork, really cool. Like seeing the different stages. There was like a 3D projection. There may be 3D or some sort of magnetic forging or a 3D stamper. Then they put it in some mud or clay to cool it, or maybe whatever you call it, treat it somehow. So I really like that. We also during the Forge flashback see why he probably doesn't like any droids. Then he goes into the, then we go into the bar. Mandalorian's not there. He had Reef's there. And he says, no more excuses, Dustbreather, talking to somebody else. Then there's that old record skipping moment in the bar, and the Mandalorian walks in and he's done up in platinum, a platinum suit. Everybody's like, whoa, whoa, glaring at him. Who does he think he is? I love the loud talking, it's just great. He goes, oh, Mando, the legend, And he goes, all these guys had fobs too, but only you could I celebrate your success. Okay, so I'm just watching the scene. This is where he's calling. It's Grief Karga. Sorry, Grief. I was calling you Reef. So he says, hey, sit down, let's chat. Where else? I'm just watching it and my notes. He goes, oh, not me. I celebrate your success. That's what I said. It's my success as well. I got a bunch of steel. I'm rich. And he says, how can I show my gratitude? Why don't you take a day off? Go to the baths at something or other. Oh, healing baths. Tallulah healing baths. He goes, give me a puck, man. And give me my next job. He says, okay, what about this one? This looks pretty good, huh? All these are far off. He goes, further the better. Take your pick. Okay, that one's on some dust planet or something. It's a calamari or calamon. And he goes, I'm out. And they, before he leaves, he pauses, though. He turns away, then he turns back. He doesn't actually turn back. He says, what are they going to do with it? And Grief says, with what, dude? And he turns around. He says, the kid. He goes, don't you know the guild code? And Mandalorian goes, if they're in the Empire, what are they doing here? He goes, there's no Empire. He goes, just people doing stuff. And then he goes, if it bothers you so much, you could go back to the core and tell on them. So the Mandalorian wasn't some sort of official thing. And he goes, buy some spice, man. Some pumpkin pie spice. Chill out in your ship. Enjoy it. Then the Mandalorian goes back to his ship. We see the Arch again. He gets on board. He flicks four switches and then presses four buttons. And then he sees the ball, the knob that the kid was playing with, and he thinks it out. And he says, you can't hide from the shine of Oso. You know, Oso might need you. I thought we were a pair. So eventually he shuts it, he gets ready to go, shuts it down, I don't know if he turned everything off. I mean, Mandalorian could definitely use one of those key fobs that tells when you walk away from your ship and locks it up for you. Yeah, so he gets off the ship. Then there's some working music. He goes down the alley, checks the trash. And I said, somebody needs to talk to these former Empire members because they threw away the bassinet. I mean, that thing had to be worth money somewhere. And so there's no excuse for that. I mean, maybe somebody left it, was going to go get it after work. I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine is like, hey, 4471 QP, we're going for a drink. They're doing it in their stormtrooper voice. You going to join us? I'll meet you there. I need to walk it off. Thinking about my cutie poo out on Alpha Centauri. And, I love to take a stroll by the dumpsters of wherever the heck we are before. So I'll meet you there. At least that's honestly what I would have done. I said, you want us to throw out a floating bassinet? It's an order. But we're not in the Empire anymore. What's the order from me? I'm technically your boss. Okay, no problem, boss. I'll throw it away. Right in the dumpster. I'll put some banana peels on it so nobody can find it. Because you're right. It should totally trash. I mean, who would want a floating bassinet? Either for parts, for carrying your stuff even. Like maybe even some stormtroopers would like it, even if they didn't have a baby that they're in charge of, which we technically are. Just to carry like our waters or whatever. Okay, go throw it out. That's it. And I say, you're right. I'm on it. Don't worry. And that's why, it wouldn't work out for me. Empire, First Order. I'd be in the first disorder. Last total disorder. If they had that, but you wouldn't join. They'd just say, where's that bassinet? We decided we needed it. Can you go get it back out of the garbage? Oh boy, they emptied the trash today. Yeah, but they only empty it on whatever, Gloomsday or whatever the friggin' days of the week are here. Yeah, no, but remember there was that that holiday for those where they had that street fair with the whiskers and stuff. So they couldn't collect trash. So they collected it. They already came and left. Yeah, really, because my office is right next to the back of the dumpster. And the only thing I heard was rummaging right after work yesterday. Oh, yeah, that's what it was, a new service. They pick it up. Then 44 would say, well, I just looked in there. It's full. Oh, yeah, there's somebody probably dumping stuff in there, probably. No, our cans of beans from lunch Tuesday are still in there. Oh, wait, we use Tuesday, but we don't use Friday. So, okay. So, anyway, back to the actual story. I mean, I'll take it. I'll tell you what, I'll go take it. I'll clean it up. I don't even care if it smells because it's like a floating bassinet or whatever, crib. Or it seems like it has a lock on it. It seems like it probably it has airflow. What is it called? A stroller, a pram. I mean, holy man. I mean, can you imagine walking around like a theme park with that thing? You say, okay, go into the stroller parking. I'll come get you later. Hold my jacket. Don't need a fanny pack anymore. All right, so then the Mandalorian, after he listened to my tangent, uses a thermal listening device. He listens into the client and the scientist, and he says, you better hurry up, man. Get the cuteness. What are you doing? This is for, like, our version of Instagram? We got to go. So they're debating. Then Mandalorian rolls up on the Ring doorbell. Takes it out. Stormtroopers come to the door to look around. And this is where the way of the Mandalorian of hide and seek begins. Because the Mandalorian starts a game of hide and seek. Like, because they're hiding the baby, you know, also from him. So he uses this magic thing, to like a poofer, to open the wall door. Then he does hide. He's the seeker. So he finds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stormtroopers right away, like in different rooms right away. Then finds a hiding med droid and the scientist. Then finds Oso Yoda. The doctor tried to explain that he wasn't playing hide and seek. He was just trying to help Oso, who was like in this kind of cuteness scanner. Then he goes seeking with the baby, finds 6 and 7. There's some action grand music with 3 exclamation points, 8, 9, 10. He even uses his armor one time to like hide, like he's like hiding while somebody changes like a hiding spot. So he finds that person. Then I guess once he hid, I guess the rules did change. So then he's trying to hide, but he goes into like a cafeteria. And then it's kind of like where you're, I don't know if all freeze tag or something, but he finds four stormtroopers find him. But he does away, like, some for freeze tag move with his whistling birds. So that's 14 stormtroopers all frozen by this hide-and-seek game. Then there's more music. Then the key fobs, like all the fobs. So this was a bit like reminded me of John Wick. I haven't seen the most recent one, but very Wick-esque. The whole bar, everybody's fobs start beeping, even Reef. I put Reef here, even in my notes, but his name's Grief, by the way. Everyone tries to catch up with the Mandalorian as he's walking. He doesn't have, he could definitely could use a floating pram. I don't know why he didn't go get it either. I mean, because obviously at this point, it's like, okay, tracking fob's not in there. It's related to your social security. Like, you know, it's like you shouldn't have sent in that kid or whatever that your sister gave you for the holidays to know where you came from or whatever. Then Grief says, welcome back, Mando. Put it down. They were trying to throw that, and he goes, could somebody, before you catch me, go get that floating crib? It'd be easier for all of us. Also, Scoots is not going to let it go, because, I mean, it really is. It would be like, I would paint it red and use it like a wagon. I mean, here, there's a free idea for you. Fearless Flyer, I would put it on there. Is that what it, that one's called? That's what the Trader Joe's thing's called, Radio Flyer. That would be the coolest thing ever. Actually, if you had a lemonade stand, you could, I don't know if you, you probably insulate that and keep your lemonade cool or fill it with ice. So, okay, just a couple more thoughts about that floating pram. Step aside, a great night shot, put it down, put it on the speeder. We see a droid. These droid, there's, so there's like a whole Lyft droid thing going, which would be great. Self-driving speeders. They don't exactly, I haven't seen any of these speeders speed. They're more like, I mean, there's not really a good place for them to speed. They move at a reasonable speed. So I would just think about renaming them. Even though speeder sounds cool, you'd say, I mean, I guess no one would say, well, I want to move at a reasonable pace that's good for everybody. They'd say, no, I have to go faster than everyone. I'd say, well, actually, there's like a speed limit, but oh, no, I need the capacity to go faster than everybody. And I'd say, wonder, but I'd say, why don't you check out my floating pram? So he says, I'm your only hope, which is kind of like Star Wars, like that comes up a lot in Star Wars, or maybe only once. You're our only hope, I guess it was. But that's what Grief says to Mando. He walks over, he kind of looks down, the baby's eyes are closed. So he does kind of act like he's going to play along at first. This one is very, when you go for the Western, this is kind of got a Western feel. Like a fantasy kind of first half. He looks down, the baby's eyes are closed. And then he says, hide and seek, he calls it. And then he hides. He manages to find, I don't exactly know the rules of this game, because again, I'm not from this planet. Don't even know what the planet's called. I mean, it's some sort of tag, hide and seek game. But he manages to catch seven people, tells the droid to drive. Grief shuts the driver down. And pretty sure he again catches eight or nine more people. But it's clearly not enough. Baby's eyes open. They say, oh, mama. Or the baby says something like that. How's it going? I'm not old enough to play hide and seek, even though I'm 50. Where's my crib, by the way? Because I left my pacifier in there. My passy. And they say, okay. And then, oh, mama. Then all of a sudden you say, holy jetpack, all these Mandalorians show up. There's great music, a little late action sequence. His rival's there, or whatever, the Splainer. He says, get out of here. And then Mandalorian says, but we'll have to, I mean, he says it's too late. So it is like kind of a cursory statement. It goes, but we'll have to relocate the covert. Not very covert anymore. You know what I'm saying, Bubby? And the guy goes, why did you just call me Bubby? And the Mandalorian goes, no, Scoots put those words in my, he didn't put them in my mouth because my mouth is obstructed by my helm. But I'll see you later, Bubby. Will I ever see you again, Bubby? And he goes, I kind of like you call. He goes, suddenly I don't feel like your rival anymore. I feel like your friend now that you've called me Bubby. And very sleepy in his sleep. What do you call that baby? He goes, it's for Oh So Cute or Oh So Yoda. It's also a tribute to Raven Simone because Bran. So Oh So Raven and the three-eyed, Oh So Three-Eyed Raven. And because, you know, I'm really comfortable with you calling me Bubby, but I do have to question your judgment that you didn't take that. Why didn't you take that crib out of the garbage? He goes, well, I was on a mission. I just didn't think it through. If I would have thought through, I would have come back and got it. You're correct in your assessment of that. And he goes, you know, I'm just a character. I'm not a perfect character. And the guy goes, well, I feel perfect now. You've called me Bubby, but we'll relocate the covert. You get out of here. This is the way. And he says, this is the way. Oh, and again, this scene is definitely worth watching for the people watching. I mean, not just for the action, because there's just a great, it's just very cool. I mean, to see this many, because I guess during a movie, it's different. I don't know why it's different, but I don't know. I just enjoyed. I really got a kick out of a lot of the characters coming to play catch with the Mandalorian. And then if you're a big Boba Fett fan or Boba Balls, I mean, I guess if you're a fan of Boba Balls, you should probably hang out with Oso Rey, Oso Yoda. Like, you should give a Boba, maybe not give a Boba Ball to, you don't give a Boba Ball to Yoda yet. So anyway, he says that is the way. Mandalorian goes back to his ship, but Grief's hiding in there. Like, he left his doors unlocked. I said, what the heck? How many times you got to learn this lesson? And he goes, don't bring up the crib again. I know I've left my ship unlocked too many times, but I knew I'd have to get on it fast in this case. And I'd say, point taken. This one, it totally makes sense that you knew you were going to be rushing back onto the ship. It's just like anybody could have walked on here other than Grief, like somebody that just might have ate your food or something or used your thinking spot or your bathroom, your hole, whatever they call it, the tube, your back tube. And then we both giggled. And then he said, speaking of my thinking spot, Grief, I'm going to, not only do I use this for thinking and freezing, I use it for smoking you out. So he tricks him and smokes Grief out, but Grief's got the steel. So Grief gets kind of caught, tagged, but he says, oh no, first he's no samesies. But Mandalorian actually doesn't even hear him because Mandalorian takes off. We see the arch again, two arches actually. I just saw a smaller arch. Beskar save out. Oh yeah, Beskar save for first. He's no samesies for Grief, and you definitely see a Marvel influence here. There's kind of like this. I mean, I don't criticize anything, but I did feel like this was a bit of ridiculous. My daughter loved it though, so you know, I'm definitely wrong. But what was the guy's name? Bubby or whatever. He flies up next to the ship, and they give a salute to one another. I mean, I guess it puts a, like, whatever you call it, put a button on the episode that they're, but you, I mean, when you call someone Bubby, I don't know if you need to salute them anymore. Cause I'm pretty sure, I don't even know where Bubby come from. I know it's from somewhere, some pop culture thing. But it was very Iron Man-esque. Then my daughter said this, during the episode, he said, I got to get one of these. She said it right before him. Then he gives the ball to Oso to play with, who's in the front seat because he doesn't have a freaking carrier anymore. And then we're in space, and they're out. And then there's 10 paintings at the end, all worth looking. You know, watch the end so you can see the paintings. Because I don't like... I'm not going to describe them because you should watch it and see the paintings for sure. And I mean, and the music, the different acts in the end music, it really brings me joy too. I wish I could turn off where it says I'm going to skip it because it goes into like the last part of the theme music. But so that was the episode. So let's run through some of the things that came up here that I wanted to look up. Hold on. Because Mando 3. Okay, first thing was plate armor. I looked up. I kind of Googled, like, how long does it take to make it? I couldn't find, a definitive answer. Yeah, but plate armor's iron plates or steel plates, like the iconic suit of armor. Yeah, there were early predecessors in the Roman era. It developed in the late Middle Ages. In the context of the Hundred Years' War, from the coat of plates worn over mail, suits of mail. It reached its peak in the 15th and 16th centuries, a full suit of armor. Referred to it as a panoply, panoply, ply. It was a feature at the very end of the Middle Ages in the Renaissance period, association with a medieval knight and jousting. Full suits of Gothic plated armor. This is all from Wikipedia. Worn on the battlefields of the Burgundian and Italian Wars, heavily cavalry, Swiss. It declined in the 17th century, except for nobility. You know, they wore it, you know, so they could strut their stuff. But yeah, did it get renewed during the Napoleonic Wars a little bit? It's a really long article on it here, but I mean, that's what our Mandalorian, that's what Mando's wearing, is plate armor. Next up is Haichu, Haichew, because that's what that door ring doorbell said. Haichu, I want a pinky or whatever. Now, this is popular in the Bay Area. I don't know about other places. It's been around since 1975, but re-released in its current shape in 1996. It's from a Japanese candy company. It wanted to create an edible chewing gum so you didn't have to take the gum out of your mouth. This is from Wikipedia. First, it was caramel with flavoring, a chewy caramel with flavoring, and those were called chulets. That was 1931. They're wrapped in, I don't know if you've seen them in the United States, that's where, not that everybody listens in the U.S., but this is a Wikipedia, and this is where my experience with Haichu has occurred. There's 14 flavors: watermelon, strawberry, green apple, dragon fruit, mango, grape, peach, banana, melon, cherry, kiwi, acai, and in Hawaii, pineapple and lily koi. They also have sours and bites, and they're very popular. I don't know. I mean, I guess like they're a bit like Starburst. If you say Scoots have never had a Haichu, what can you compare it to? It's like a bit like Starburst. They're just cool. I would say they're cooler. It is not kosher or halal or vegetarian, though. Just a heads up. Or maybe that was. They said it is gluten free. I don't know if that's since 2012 that it's not kosher or halal or vegetarian, but you probably just avoid it, you know. I don't know if the same holds true for, what's that stuff called? Starburst. Okay, I looked up to the victors to go to spoils. I didn't really find anything out. I don't know why I looked up. I guess because he said bye-bye baby to me. I know there's a musical and a movie called Bye-Bye Birdie. Never seen it. A little bit. Just never seen it, I guess. Is a musical comedy, a stage production and film. In the movie, stars Dick Van Dyke, his feature film debut, really, 1963. Reprising his Broadway role, Maureen Stapleton, Janet Leigh, Rosie De Leon, Paul Lynde, Bobby Rydell. Is he the one that founded Rydell High? And Anne Margaret. It was inspired by the success of Elvis Presley when he was drafted into the army. Wow, I didn't even know anything about the plot of this. This is all from Wikipedia, by the way. But I might see this. Jesse Pearson plays the role of teen idol, whose character's name is a wordplay on country singer Conway Twitty. Teen pop idol. His manager, Colonel Tom Parker, rejected the idea. Oh, no, that was Presley. It was the first choice, but they said, no, not playing any parodies of Elvis. Elvis isn't playing a parody of himself. Ed Sullivan appears. The film's credited with making Anne Margaret a star, leading to her appearance in Viva Las Vegas. So that's interesting. I have no idea. It made $13.1 million at the box office in 1963. It sounds pretty great. It's got, looks like it has 15 musical numbers, and I'm sure some people are big. It's got a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 89%. So it's Bye Bye Birdie. Naval whistle. This one, like, there was some whistling at the beginning or like sound effects, and it's called the boatswain's call or the bosun's whistle. It's a pipe or a non-diaphragm type whistle used on naval ships. This is also from Wikipedia. Narrow tube which directs air over a metal sphere, the buoy, with a hole in the top. And you can open and close your hand to change the pitch over the hole. The rest of the pipe consists of a keel. It was used to pass commands to the crew when the voice couldn't be heard because of the sea so loud. It has a very high pitch and could be heard over the crew's voices or the weather. It's now used also as in traditional bugle calls and ceremonies in some modern navies. It's the official badge of the quartermaster, chief boatswain's mate, and let's see. Yeah, so it's just a little bit. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of flourishes in The Mandalorian that I'm really enjoying. And I do enjoy the sets, the costuming, and the sound effects and the music is important to me. Okay, the last thing is, I don't know if we had, I know I saw a lot of ads for this place in when I was a kid. I don't know if they actually had any in Syracuse where I grew up. All those of you that grew up on WPIX in the New York City area, you know Lionel Kitty City, which turns a frown upside down. And it's been a while since I talked about it, but so I looked it up on Wikipedia. It started in the 60s. In the 80s, it had 150 stores under the name Lionel Kitty City, Lionel Play World, and Lionel Toy Warehouse. That's L-I-O-N-E-L. But it was cut back in the 80s. Then it made a comeback in the 90s. In the 90s, is the fourth largest toy retailer. Then it contracted again because it's so hard to deal with the big toys, toy company, which isn't around anymore. It tried to merge with another toy company. That didn't work. I don't know if it has anything to do with Lionel Trains, though. I mean, I just remember Lionel Kitty City turns your frown upside down. It looks like one of the logos I saw when I was Googling it was of a kangaroo, which I know listeners probably told me the name of the kangaroo. Maybe it was Kanga. I don't know. But yeah, it was just something that was a big part of when I was watching TV all the time as a child, young adult, or teen, you know, all those times. So, I don't know, just part of my childhood, Lionel Kitty City. Maybe it'd be a part of also Yoda's childhood, depending on where in the timeline Baby Yoda is. And I think that's it. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. Maddie's Granny from Canada says, calm in a stormy night. When I first listened, I was torn between puzzlement and hilarity. And suddenly I realized I wasn't thinking about my own problems. I snuggled in, distracted by ramblings. And before I knew it, I was waking up with headphones in my ears. Total lifesaver. I'm a patron for that reason. Nothing else has worked organically. Then Miss Howell to H to the Hotel from the UK says, sleepy. Blimey, I didn't even make it 5 minutes. Thank you, Howell. Thanks, Howell. Carrie with four eyes and a kiss and a hug. It says, works for me. Chronic insomnia. Used to use basic white humming noise for many years. This is much better. Thanks for Scooter for helping me sleep. Enjoy the catchy song. Never stayed awake to hear the end of a show. Seriously, give it a try. This is from Hepe76. Yip, yap, yap. This is a really good podcast. Maybe go to sleep within 3 minutes. I skipped in the middle of the show, though, from Yippee Yap Yap. And then a lot of emojis. So I'm not sure if this is emoji lover or a kid, but 9 or 10 lines of really cute emojis. Love it. Next up, oh boy, this one's this is from LPPRSN. Tried it. I have to change their language, but they strongly disliked it, very strongly. But then they listed out what they didn't like. One, intro's forever long. I had to fast forward through like 20 minutes of intro before I could get to the main story, in quotes. Two, guys mumbling and stuttering is way capitalized. This could be from someone in the office, actually, with all the caps. Way too distracting and annoying. And then all caps for number three. What is he even talking about? That's yeah. So that's the next up is Kitty, who said peace of mind about the bad reviews, anxiety and peace of mind. A handful of people give us a bad review, but this is personalized. So you just have to try it. It can work on some people and not others. Thanks. This is a great counterpoint. You never know until you try. What do you got to lose? I love this podcast. Swear by it. Family and friends listen. Love it so much. I recommend for children and adults. So thank you. Then this next one is a 1-star review, but I think something else happened. It's from Sis Babe, who says, delete, remove. Do not want podcast or product. I think they're probably referring to the podcast app itself, but maybe somehow they downloaded sleep. Maybe somebody put it out. I don't know. But that didn't work. Scooter Stan says, mimics my brain falling asleep. Tangents, odd references mimic my brain. And sometimes I'm too invested, but I enjoy the show either way. JX Jen's regular listener helps my mind let go of the day. And that's it. I think we got all of the reviews. Thanks, everybody, who took the time to review the show. You could review it on Apple Podcasts or in the podcast app of your choice. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because of people, the listeners that take action, become patrons, support sponsors, buy the merch, all that stuff. That's how we're able to keep it free for everybody. Pretty cool exchange. I mean, I think the statistics hold right now. It's like 6 to 12 patrons or between people that support the sponsors and merch and the patrons. So about 12 people per episode supports 300,000 people. So that's 299,988 people. 299,988 people get a free podcast because of 12 people taking action. That's amazing. Show grows because of people who spread the word. So thank you for doing that. That's free too. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back, and they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the #1 mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.